just watch. More important than watching is listening. Sing the song. Now feel that it's God talking to you, life talking to your form. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song.
Listen, listen, listen to my heart song.
Listen, listen, listen to my heart song.
Listen. listen, listen, listen to my heart's song.
Partially open the eye is not completely. And realize your heart is the center of your being. Within it resides creative life, flowing truth. That is why it's said, the life is in the blood. The real you that feels and thinks is residing in the blood. But you can't see it. You can only hear it. That's why they say no man see God, but hears his voice. If we don't see created life with eyes, we hear it flowing through the body of the liver. And the more you identify with it, expands to the boundary lines of consciousness and beyond. Beyond the sonic level, supersonic, ultrasonic, and asonic. It is you. Science calls it unified field. Eastern saints call it yoga. Unity with a unified field. An actual living experience. No imagination. No belief system. The time spent for choir, that is the good works. No man can give it to you. You give it to yourself. Because you will endow it individually. So you have to look inside of yourself. That's what we call Kingdom of God. You contain the atom in a cellular form called body. And its right laws, how it operates within you. And to differentiate between seeing and hearing. And our Lord yourself. No one in this room is greater than God. Because the creative intelligence became us and endowed us with individuality. To differentiate between seeing and hearing. To the unity of your existence. Notice as you listen one significant fact about yourself and your mechanism is your breath. You are breathing. Like it or not. Consciousness is locked to the breath. That is why Paul said, "Bend into the body." I rebuke you when you're rejoicing and are living in your senses. For I live and die daily in the Lord. Conscious identity with the life force in the nostril and the resonance of the flow. Conscious decarbonization of the physical mass to convert it into pure energy. It has nothing to do with belief systems. It has to do with your confrontation with your structure. What you are. So you're not concerned about the other person, what they're doing with their life. You're concerned with what you're doing with yours. Until you pull your head off the ground of an ostrich and look around. And see all the colors we get on the ground. then you may try to be some help to them, to get their heads on the ground. But you first have to work on yourself. Between the period of working on yourself and your individuality, there is a moment of rest called sleep. Sound asleep, do you know if you're a man or a woman? And you have no guarantee from your brain you'll wake up next day when you fall asleep and you're sound asleep. Then you discover very fast how vulnerable you are. All the big ego is of no help. That kind of peace Jesus referred to. The world gives us the peace I give, the world won't give. What the world gives you is 6 feet underground, and may you rest in peace, not knowing who you are in some sleep. But the peace of the Christ conscious person is the knowing who you are and your some sleep. If you're a man or a woman, and you have the strength to live in the world with your eyes open all the time, not part of the time. We fool ourselves that we gain energy by going to sleep, we replenish our bodies to get up to work next day. And in that unconscious state, you relate to as a biological battery charge of your machinery. Let's see them. It's only when you make the transition from the unconscious relationship of your nature to revitalize your mechanism to function, then can you say you understand what the man Jesus lived for in the conscious now. Vitalizing your organism from the conscious level of your being is called life abundantly. I have come that you may have life abundantly. He didn't come for anything else, and he had nothing else to offer us than the realization of how to vitalize yourself consciously. Without the need to sleep. That's why it's called abundant. It never stops. But if you're in doubt,
when you're trained in the basic chemistry and we live in an atomic environment, then Einstein's law will convince you very easily. Energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light squared. What have I got? Energy in the form of mass. Velocity of light squared in the atoms is the same. You are the same. You are born winners. You may not like it, but losers cannot be born. There is no way the sperm that got the ovum is a loser. Try and see. Medical profession scraped me up pretty fast. But the one that got the ovum is a winner. Like it or not. But you can tell yourself, that is the intellectual comment, that you will lose all your life. Be my guest. But if you want realization, factual realization, not imagination or churchianity, then you have to come to grips with the only temple in the universe, the human body. And the only resident is who? Our God. So Moses was right. And he heard the burning bush in his forehead talk and say, I am that I am. But how can I go tell these jokers that I am sensible? You gotta get a nice fancy name for freedom from their fixations. Equally true. When we're locked in the fixations about this mechanism, it's very difficult to break free. But with the advent of science and the reality of day-to-day living, we are forced to re-evaluate what we are versus what we think we are. And if you say to yourself, it's too late, that's not valid. Because everything's happening now. Ask yourself, when were you born? What will be your answer? You're going to go and look up the calendar? Then you'll be deluding yourself. Because you can only be born now. You can't be born outside of now, no matter how you try. And when do you die? Now, good. So you can't get out of now. If you're born now, you die now. When do you reincarnate?
Now.
Now, good. When do you resurrect?
Now.
Throw away three, keep one. End of the race. What do you want? So pick the one you want to be. And that is the glory of God. That's what Jesus came for. He wasn't aware of the man being born blind if he committed a sin in the past life, or his parents did. He was more concerned about the man able to see now. So living now is the actual truth. Unity with life now is what you have waiting for you. But you can't be unconscious. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have to live in the now. Quite a challenge. You're going to say, I need to go to sleep. Be my guest. But if you don't wake up, who's calling? you don't go to sleep and you don't get tired, who fooled you? You went to sleep and you don't wake up. And you don't go to sleep and you don't get tired. And somebody fooled you. But you slept enough in the womb, and when you're born, you slept enough, so you're going to quit. If you were born 18 years of age, evolving to one day old, and you die, that would be all right. But it doesn't work that way. You came in one day old, and you evolved into 80 years, or 80 revolutions around the sun. This tells you, you have slept a long time in the womb. 9 months. Then when you come out, you cut the cord. And you hold the air on time. You may talk to it. But if you don't hold the air after you cut the cord on time, I wouldn't be able to see you. I'd have to wait till you come back the next time. So, breathing on time, when the cord is cut, gives you your individuality. From that moment on, you're like the ostrich with his head in the ground, living in the unconscious, calling it sleep. Now and then you pull it out to look around and see if the wolf is around to bite you. That's contemplation. Eventually, you'll come to the realization one day that the solution to your enlightenment is not in sleep. And neither is it in books. It's in your conscious awareness of yourself. Here and now. You don't have to go no place to find it. It's already working inside of you as a memory, aggravating you every second, telling you how stupid you are, how many mistakes you've made, you gotta correct them. You never sleep long enough time to catch up. By that time, the cosmic accountancy is piling up the deficits on you. So, the drive for realization becomes the obsession in the being. And that is why Jesus said, seek ye first, not second, the kingdom of God, that is, the self-contained principles, which is within you. How your atomic structure is put together. And its righteousness being how it operates correctly. And it will free you from the unconscious part of your nature that you can't seem to recall when you're sound asleep who you are. Then when you're free once and for all, and you know who you are, free men and women, Lord of yourself. Now, I say selves, I don't say self. I have a form of self here, but I've formed freedom of the self. The illusion of self is very, very overpowering in our language. Because we live with the illusion we have a soul, and our body is going to try and save it. Pretty preposterous. But if you are soul, then you may transform the body to its highest qualities. Scriptural truth is valid, I think. God made man in his own image and likeness, male and female created them, and breathed breath of life into man, and man became living tree. Living dog. So tree is fiber, dog is flesh. Or man became living soul, or man has a soul. Which is the correct statement now? Man is soul, right? Manifestation. No macho. Come, let us make a manifestation. Us, that's plural, not singular. That is magnetism and electronics. Focusing upon mass as a manifestation in chemistry. Male and female is the polaristic movement, requiring one sperm, one woman to do it. No two sperm, no two ovaries. So look at yourself. No two ovaries, no two sperms. You're one each within a magnetic, electrochemical interplay. Male and female. In this manifestation form, to get shadow. It'll freak you out if the shadow walk away. And God, creative principle, breathed breath of life into man. So that tells you, I don't breathe when I'm in the womb with my nose. And every doctor knows that. No human being breathes with nostrils in the womb when he's connected to the umbilical cord. But when you cut the cord, then comes the deciding factor of individuality. If the air is pressurized into your nostril, synchronizes with the dilation, constriction of the physical chemistry on time, you get up and walk. Yes. Otherwise, I'll have to put an artificial machine, and when that doesn't hold, they can't call you a human being, they call you a dead fetus. You didn't make it. But if you do make it, you're going to sleep, like my brother over there. But he's not sleeping. Don't get fooled with his face. He's hearing every single thing in my voice and storing it. So one day he's going to come confront me with what he has said. That is subliminal learning. When we look at the cells and we leave the level of unconsciousness imposed upon us by sleep and work through to the full consciousness devoid of sleep, we are master of the self. This is an electrical cage. But this is a 4.5 billion cell battery. Every one of them capable of billions of volts. You know, we sell ourselves short. I give you a little mathematical equation to see how you sell yourself short. The energy of soul equals the energy of 12 suns in a sleeping person. And the energy of soul in the non-sleeping person is 12 square suns. You have the energy locked up with you, the equivalent of 144 suns. Someday science will validate it. In the meantime, Jesus was no problem for him to make a few thousand loaves of bread. But we calculated that a very good chemical friend of mine, how much energy it takes to make one fish 12 inches long, 2 inches wide. It will freak you out if you create a fantastic mathematical number it takes to make one, let alone to make 4,000 and 5,000. Amount of energy as we thought. And the compression of time that is involved. There are no miracles. They're all laws of nature within the framework of consciousness, but not in the framework of unconsciousness. Yet, all is required of us in the form with our individuality. Is one of the most simple things to do, but very hard to apply. Be thou still and know that I am God. Try it. You think you can do it? Be thou still and know that I am God is you. After 2 seconds, your mind is all over the place. And that Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Very, very difficult. Simple technique, difficult to apply. Because that individuality creates every attraction to keep your brain away from centering on it. Mechanism. What is difficult is that you have to talk to yourself every time you want to do something. Think back. Last night before you went to bed, can you remember the statement you made before you went to bed? You were going to get up tomorrow to go hear some joke talk tonight. But you see, you have to program yourself for a computer. So punch in, punch out. Nobody goes to bed and says, I'm going to sleep and don't get up. Everybody tells themselves they're going to do what? Get up tomorrow, right? So for that, you're already trapped by your own words. Now you understand karma. Every action equal reaction is the Newton. Eastern men only use one type of terminology. We call it agricultural terminology. Modern man uses mechanical terminology. But you and I are caught in the middle of the terminology. To sleep or not to sleep is the question. See? That's why Jesus rebuked his own disciples. Come pray a while with me. They ended up doing what? Pray a while. Imagine this. So it's pretty difficult. Those guys are way up there, you know, far ahead of us. We can't even catch up with their short tail. And even they are falling asleep. Simple technique, very hard to apply at times. But what is important, even though it seems hard to do, you have one consolation. That is, you're born a winner. So you will make it, no matter how many incarnations it takes.
You have to get there.
So, Realization is not nebulous. It's not something up in the sky. It's very close, interrelated with your body. In the process of going from unconsciousness to consciousness, knowing where you're functioning from is the sleep state versus the non-sleep state, then you have to have some measurement of the accomplishment. That's why it's called a science, the science of life, the path of mastery. From the sleep state to the non-sleep state, the measurable experience is one, how practical are you becoming every day in your life? In 24 hours, look back and see the practical things that you did versus the impractical ones and start tabulating your efficient use of your energy. That's the first measurement, practicality. Spiritual people are not impractical and they're not fanatical. And they're not concerned with saving the world. The world finds them and gets saved. That's the difference between spiritual people. I said they're not concerned in saving the world. The world finds them and gets saved. That's spiritual people. That's why Jesus never went looking for anybody to heal. The people always came looking for him to heal them. And that is true of every realized person in every ethnical group. Once you realize, you realize you are the principle of consciousness. You have shifted away from the unconscious sleep state to the full conscious state. That doesn't say you know more than the other person or you're going to be some kind of intellectual giant. Far from it. Being conscious is being alert every second. And that alertness is self-rejuvenating. That's the next measurement of the growth. Your level of immunity is evidenced in a spiritual life. The things you begin to cope with, you could not cope with before. So it's not acquired immune deficiency you're working for. It's acquired immune efficiency you're working for. You see the difference? Many of us are acquiring immune deficiency by shutting down our self. Those who awaken themselves acquire immune efficiency. Your endorphins work for you now. They don't lay down on the job no more. That's why Jesus told the physician, heal yourself. The physician had his own endorphins again. And if he was sick and was looking for something to activate it, he had the wrong direction. But if he activates his own self, he may heal himself. So the second test of the spiritual person is immunity. It's called spirituality. In the agricultural term, in the technical term, is the degree of immunity. The third state is enlightenment. So most people think enlightenment is know-it-all. And in actuality, it has nothing to do with knowing at all. Enlightenment is the ability to act on command performance. Bishop Mali called in the phone and says, would you do this for me? And you have 100 other things piling up. What would be your remark? You'll find an excuse first. Then you haven't arrived at enlightenment. Because command performance means you're in the right place at the right time for the right experience, no matter who asks you. That's enlightenment. Put it another way, the daily events of your life and the timing of those daily events in your life is the evidence that creative intelligence is directing the survival, not your survival. The timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that creative intelligence is directing the survival. Confused. And the actual realization that we're trying to accomplish is very simple. But it gets hidden away in a lot of words. So the first test of your true structure is your practicality, moment to moment, in 24 hours. That tells you right away your spiritual course. Not the miracles. That doesn't tell us you're spiritual. That's why the church refused to accept people who perform miracles before they die as spiritual. Perform it after you're dead. You'll see how spiritual. See, that's what they call the canonization technique. You're smart. If you really made it, you'll do it. Because death is unconscious. So you already overcome sleep and death already. What you got? Total conscious. So perform it after, then you really know you are immortal. So that's the first test, being practical and moment. And the second test, which they call divinity, but meaning immunity. That's a divine person as well, immune. Get it down into the actual operation. Your ability to cope with life in the immune state. How efficient is your immunity? And the last test is enlightenment, which is command performance. So Jesus, when he was challenged, he answered all three tests very simply. I of myself can do nothing. That's one way to answer it. The Father in me does everything. Not my will, but thy will be done. So let's go to Calvary. My Oscar is waiting for me. It's called Resurrection. Even though I got put out the facade of being beaten up and nailed to a cross, it's miserable to go through. But who's doing it to me? That's the question. Who is doing it to the enlightened person? Do you think the people nailing him and beating him up were doing it? Years ago, I had to give a retreat on Easter, and the night before, I wanted to sing a song to start the Easter morning. And I stayed up all night, waiting for the song to come. And finally, it came from the voice within. The Lord is walking in my heart today. The Lord is walking in my heart today. Way down in Calvary land. Way down in Calvary land. They nailed him to a cross. They nailed him to a cross. They thought that they had won. They thought that they had won.
The Lord is walking in my heart today. But the Lord is walking in my heart today. Many people after that retreat in the college, they felt like from within their own consciousness to saw the face of Jesus. Walking in their heart. And many other great saints who transcended death, walking in their hearts. The actual realization is possible to us today, more so than our ancestors, because the realized man never spent much time explaining away some of the fixations surrounding the truth. They were working with a lot of belief systems, and there were not enough environmental progress to validate some of their accomplishments. But today, in our modern society, this little object is evidence that we've come a long way understanding what's going on inside. Inside simply means what's operating on the invisible range of life. There is no metaphysics outside of physics. All the universe is physics in two speeds, visible and invisible. It's called a manifestation. At the visible range, you work with your five senses. At the invisible range, you have an option to open up the convex vision, otherwise called clairvoyant or prophetic vision or third eye vision, or by yourself in a microscope. But you're going to see the same laws and you're going to diagnose the same way. Because truth is truth. It can't hide no more. And one teacher said, in the next 14 more years, realization will be common everyday knowledge that a child will spout it out and freak out the spirits. Because it will be the living body. It's there. And we will make a drastic turnaround in the fixations and begin to look at ourselves more objectively. And even though we may seem to have lost a lot of time with those fixations and 30, 40 years of it, yet as soon as we grasp the understanding, in a matter of few hours, the whole transformation is there. Then the livingness of the now and the eternalness of the now and the full consciousness of the now will take over in your body. And then you will see for yourself the power of the atom and the immortality of the atom. But the flesh will be the measuring stick. Already it's the measuring stick in the non-decomposing body. That's one evidence of it. The other evidence is the person went through the burial but left no body for us to keep. He took it with him. That's the materializing and dematerializing of the form. You call it resurrection. It's atomic physics. No magic. But it's waiting for us. The caterpillar eats its way, spins its cocoon. It can't fly, but all of a sudden something comes up that can fly. It's called a butterfly. It exists before you and I. And in my researches over the years, I've squashed up enough caterpillars, and they all rot. But how many butterflies I've squashed up? I've not found a rotten one yet. And I've squashed a lot of to find out. To this day, I've never found a rotten butterfly. So if the laws of DNA and RNA and the conscious reality exist in tissue,
then you have it right here, God. That doesn't say you don't respect the churches and their convictions, but we have to graduate from those fixations and come to grip with the real church, the real temple, the real you. What is powerful of the real you is you've always been and will always be. That's what's so powerful about it. Ask a simple question. Where can you store I am? Now you see why you're eternal. That's the understanding why Paul says understanding is the fruit, not the gift of spirit or realization. The gifts are the magical powers trying to perform magical powers. The fruit is the understanding, that you understand what's going on. So comes the question now. If we're all lying down dead in this room and God walks and says, hi folks, we want your breath back, some miracles to perform or some possessions to make you the richest person in the world, what would you ask for? Your breath back, miraculous powers to perform, or riches to make you a rich person? We all have one answer, right? Give me my breath back. And when you get your breath back, you still feel stupid because you got no money. You see why this is a big stage? Because we have to relate, we are all equal and we are all winners. But we're acting the role of the horoscope, the scope of the horror. That's individuality. Don't get caught up in it. Realize it, accept it as a process in the whole understanding. Freedom is there. And now when you think of it, planet Earth is supposed to have over 4 billion people. Highly populated, right? Good. You look up at night and you see all that free estate going to waste and nobody. Don't you like to have one little planet to be your own personal place to go to? And that's exactly why the cosmos is there for the realized being. It's waiting. And it's not as difficult as you think. That is what's so beautiful. Realize men have come already and offer us the one great consolation. And the consolation is this: as many as receive me, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even unto those that believe on my name. The fact that we can relate to the Christ principle, even if we never meet the living master, this principle is like a credit card left to you as an inheritance. And no matter how much money you spend, the estate will value the bill. That's life itself. The promise was given to mankind in the human body. That's the test. It wasn't given to mankind out of the sky. Anytime a human being takes on the role to serve the Creator in the form and speaks the spoken word, that spoken word is the guarantee to all the brothers and sisters that live in the body and come after in the body. That's what is so beautiful about the understanding, that the pledge has no revoking. It's we who shut ourselves out of it due to lack of understanding. But if you're looking to it for miraculous powers, you get fooled. If you're looking at possessions, we get food. If you're looking for liberation, freedom, then all these things are added onto you. Isn't that what he said? The possessions are added onto you. The miraculous power, not this day can vouch for that. You will give it. And one sister of mine said, Adam, when you know God, all your good decisions and lousy ones are fulfilled. So for that reason, you can never be left out. But knowing it has nothing to do with age or intellect. It simply has to do with the acceptance of disengaging from the sleep state to function in the non-sleep state. We have our responsibility, yes, our family life to carry on, occupation and so forth. And we always feel that we'll never get enough time to rest or do it. That's the programming in which we grew into. And in a strange way, when you disengage from that programming, you have more energy and more time to yourself, you don't know what to do. That's what you call chomping at the bit to serve society now. You see, before you didn't have enough time for society, and now all of a sudden, when you organize your consciousness, you got more time and energy to serve. But you don't want to change society, because that's not the process. When you realize society finds you. That's why they say you attract only those who are ready to transform. And you can come to your own, and if they're not ready to be transformed, they'll never transform. Isn't that what he said, Jesus? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, that's what we're talking about in the process of understanding the realization. First we realize our own self, and then those who are ready to be transformed and drawn. And the transformation is very simple to recognize. It's going from an unconscious level that the body is subjected as from childhood to the day it wants to quit sleeping and assume the responsibility of functioning in the conscious realm. But don't rush it. It comes to you at your own timing. And that's what your horoscope is for. It allows you to come to grips with your own timing. And once you have that, you begin to flow. I know you have lots of questions to ask. Give you a chance to ask some questions.
Should we break first? Please?
Yeah.
We have some
pineapple juice, tea, restrooms in the far corner.
Yes. I
So I understand the morning, but recognize it automatically.
Bacterial. Is often referred to your family as because of the sins of the first generation. That's what they call trauma in human beings. Today we know it's a thought process that's involved in the parents before the child comes into existence. So their bodies are compromised. You are a product of one spirit, the one of the physical parents. Mother is a part of being there before that. Then you have to go through the process. But you don't know that until they may be very gone, and then you have to work through all the different levels in your own consciousness because they need memory banks. So in the Eastern tradition, we went to the Amish and meditated on it. That's what they call recycling by memory banks. Today we have a printing machine to pull back things.
Can that be done with a rebirth thing?
That's all the different techniques that are coming out today. This is all the different ways of saying it. To recall memory.
How do you work to the non-sleep state?
Oh.
What's a good practice?
I'm sorry, I cropped your eyes open.
Well, years ago, I went to see a man living in Detroit who was supposed to be a disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda. And when I arrived there, I called on a Saturday morning, and the phone answered, and on the other end of the phone was the wife of the man. And the remark is, Adam, I'm sorry that the person you want to see does not see anybody on Saturday, because this is his day off. On the day he met Yogananda, Yogananda told him he needed a day off to himself. And I and his wife, I don't even interfere. On Saturday, whatever he does, he locks himself up in his room. And then on Sunday, tomorrow, if you come at such and such an address, you can meet him and talk with him. But I'll let you in on some of my experience with him over the years. I asked my husband, what does he do when he locks up in the room, that Yogananda told him to have a time off to himself. And his remark was, I am me. And take it for what it worth, you pick a day in the week you want to be you, it won't bother me because I work for myself anyhow. So the wife decided to take Monday. He said, you know why? Because every woman complains of the Monday blues. So in the next day when I met them, they were telling me of this same process of disengaging from unconscious to conscious. He picked the day that Yogananda told him he must take a day to be himself. And being himself was go through every notion that you can in your head to tell yourself why you shouldn't sleep. And he rolled around and he practiced, but it didn't really begin to take effect right away. But because he took the one day of the week and he made it that commitment, he experimented and experimented. And finally, one Saturday, he accomplished what he thought was the impossible. Never slept that whole day and night. Thinking he would be tired by the next day, he found that he had more energy and didn't know where he was getting it from. Then he said, from then on, I never slept no more. My one day was by experiment, and I go in there and I roll like a kid, do everything, and if I want to be what I am to me, that is my day to be me. And the wife said the same thing had happened to her. And then they compared notes. When she found the day that she didn't need to sleep 24 hours, her whole body, and when I saw them, they were in their 60s. They looked like two people in their late 30s. Radiant, young, alive, vibrant. Now they're in their 90s. They're not dead. So he says, you see it down. If you can master the unconscious, you have the ever-new conscious rejuvenation going on. So that, to me, gave me the incentive, well, I got to get a day to do it. So it didn't come to me until I had an accident years ago in Canada, and I fell off a building and broke up all my bones. And then I was, what do you say, had to take a day off. But in taking my day off, I was in a cast like a chicken in a stew. So after I came out my unconscious level and the doctors were examining me, and they said, well, if you don't die now, you're going to die. Then I decided, who's going to die? And it was almost a year and 6 months that I didn't sleep. My body just filled up with gas, And I tried to do everything to lose weight in the cast that I could. And then I realized that the body was teaching me how to accept myself. And it's very difficult, and yet I'm confined to the fact, here I am. After the first 3 days when I opened my eyes, I'm like this, and cast, you know, hung up, ain't going no place. Naturally, I can't go to the bathroom either. And then you see a nice young lady coming and taking wiping you up. You got to be like a child after a while. You know, you look at that and say, oh boy, your whole focus of everything starts changing. Every action puts you back. And then you look around in the room, thinking it's miserable, and then you see others with limbs missing, and then you're looking at yourself, no limbs missing, broken bones, and yet you can't do anything more, hang there, and yet you can't seem to fall asleep. The full 24 hours go on, you're just in and out, and through that entire period, I began to appreciate the unconscious versus the conscious. The unconscious was not contributing to my development, but my consciousness was developing and contributing. It made me compassionate. It made me appreciate people's views, hear them talk of things that I couldn't make a comment. Even if I knew more, I kept my mouth shut. Because there I was lying in that position and learning to relate. Now, when I came out of the hospital and was well, I took a day off, and that was a Sunday. And I just lay down in the room and I rolled around like a little baby. That's what I said. Now, Jesus, I can meditate everything you said. Unless you become like one of you, you can't. I want to see what's the difference. I don't have no cast, and here I am, and I'm rolling around like a baby 24 hours a day on the floor. Enjoying it. To this day, those who know me don't sleep. But I was exposed one time to some people who wanted to put me to a test. They picked me up in the airport, one of the fellows, and we arrived in a big group of people like that in the house, and one of them kept talking and asking questions over and over. And I look at the clock, and this fellow's talked for 8 hours straight, and then he rolls over and falls asleep. Then another person started talking to the other group, and he kept it up for 8 hours. By that time, I've seen everybody more or less dropping off, and then the third 8 hour, another one picked it up. So I've gone 24 hours, no release from the group, and they're asking the questions. Then I said to myself, you guys are going to get a surprise. So the first 24 hours, the three fellows ran me through their sessions of questions. And it's the second 24 hours, I'm up, sitting there, still talking to them. They're knocked out. In the third 24 hours, everybody's knocked out on the floor, and I'm sitting down reading a book. So then they opened their eyes, and the fourth 24 hour, they all like, where were you? I said, I'm still here, I'm going to place. One of them says, I learned my lesson. And she says, after the first 8 hours, I couldn't keep my eyes open. She says, what is it though that you got? He says, you came off the plane, all you had was the legs, and that's it. Conversation come. I said, you building in your mind that you have to sleep, and you expect to wake up tomorrow. I gave up those ideas a long time because I live in the now. But it took me to go through what you may not want to do, play like a child. Get on the floor and roll all over. Tell yourself every stupid thing that you could remember as a child and go through it for a full 24 hours. And you break every preconceived notion of what having to fall asleep. You remember when you were a child growing up, time to go to bed? Ever hear that statement? Okay, now think of this in your head as a child. Have you ever heard this? You stay here till we come back. If you can lock into that memory where you heard that statement, you stay here till we come back, you break through the unconscious. Because that is leaving you in a level to do what? Stay conscious till they come back. And every parent says that to their child when they're what? They're going to go out and leave the child. But the child hears it but can't make any statement. And you heard it. Now it's to go back into your memory bank and try to identify when you actually heard that statement. Then that's the triggering agent that switches you open. But that's the quickest way to get into those states, that you can disengage from the unconscious to the state of the conscious. Any other questions?
Then all the people that have written books on the importance of dreaming and all of this is really useless.
No, let me put it this way. The dream state has a value. And my question and answer is usually yes, no, maybe. You see, because I haven't found anything that is 100%. You and I fell down and died, and the body stopped, the heart stopped on the operating table and everything. Even in the after-death state, I didn't find what people said was there. So I know, without doubt, that the universe is running on a polaristic principle, which is plus, minus, neutral. And that's why they call it Trinity in the churchianistic terminology. And every question that we ask for a specific answer has three answers. The yes answer, the no answer, the maybe answer. Yet each one of those answers are valid in their proper time frame for you to experience and relate to. The yes answer is valid that you may have to be involved in yes for a certain length of time till you get bored with yes. Then you switch it to no.
Maybe.
Well, maybe.
Maybe it's very comfortable.
Right. But you see, the very scripture has got it that God don't like too many yes no's. So Jesus would say, you can't serve two masters at the same time, either for me or not for me. So you put a little guilt trip in your mind to make an active action, not to get too caught up in any process, but to go through them and try to relate in the timing. Otherwise you get locked into them. You see? Then you say, well, this doesn't change and therefore that's all there is, and you may fool yourself, and then it lets you down. Then who do you blame? We always cry that God let me down. God will let us down. We let ourselves down by not understanding God. See, that's the whole thing. But the principle is going on in a yes, no, maybe, within its own time frame. And really individual, with the endowment of individuality, has to pass through these processes to gain understanding by comparison. See, if we don't gain by compassion, we can't develop compassion. You see, it's the compassionate nature that ends up making us realize to go through something, make a mistake, correct it, and grow from it by compassion. So that's why they call it forgive, to give forth more of yourself. But you can't give forth more of yourself until you make a mistake to warrant the condition of giving forth more. So God already the capitalist. He's 6 days he's working in a checking account, and one day he's working on the savings account. You don't know how big the savings account is. See, he'll override every one of the mistakes in the checking account. So that's the same way we are set up in our outward life with the eyes open. Every phenomenon is on a checking basis. And the reserve part of us that is locked in into the partial shutdown of the eyes